All right, here we go. In the House 2.0 version, who knows what. Second one of the season. First one with our new captain, Kyle Adams. Welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we were kind of shocked and surprised when you joined the team last year. And, you know, I don't think the team's looked back since you've, you know, you've got kind of that's but sewn up for yourself in the back line.
Yeah. It's been obviously Danny had a lot of faith in bringing me in mid-season like that, and I think pulled a few strings with upstairs to make it happen. So, yeah, I'm excited to be here, and I've honestly loved the club, loved the city. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, so my burning question is: you're from New Zealand, right? And obviously. The big one I used to watch when I was your age was I used to love watching the All Blacks play on rugby, and I like watching England getting beaten by New Zealand in the cricket, you know. So how on earth did you get involved in soccer and not rugby or cricket?
So my dad was a coach. My older brother, he's 6 years older than me, played. So I was kind of just like thrust into it. But to be fair, like, rugby is New Zealand's game, but more people play soccer, football. Like, population-wise,
really?
More people play soccer, yeah.
Because I would have thought that would be the other way around, because it seems like the All Blacks, they dominate the rugby scene, and, you know, you would have thought that they would have had a lot more people playing that than they would football.
I think it's more like people love rugby, but they don't want to get hurt. You know what I mean? So that's like,
yeah,
that's literally what it is.
They value their lives a little bit more. Yeah. It's like driving with a seatbelt as opposed to without one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's what they used to say when I first started playing, is come play rugby and give some blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, have you guys, have you taught the guys the hockey yet?
I haven't done it for the guys here yet. To be fair, like, so in New Zealand, every high school has their own haka. So like, it's slightly different. So like, I have my high school's haka, which I know and like learned. You learn like first day of school in high school. So I don't know if have you seen the video of like the two like high schools doing it to each other? So like, that's my high school against the school my dad coached.
Okay. Yeah. You'll have to give us that because just so that everybody knows what we're talking about, is if you've ever seen any ball team over in New Zealand, they at the start of the game, they always do the haka, which is a challenge to come on and bring what you got. So it's if you've never seen it, you got to look it up, because, you know, it is pretty breathtaking. It's like at Anfield, you know, that you got the cop singing "You'll Never Walk Alone," but you go to New Zealand and, you know, they perform the haka before the game, which is it's pretty cool.
Yeah, if like people go to New Zealand to watch a game, you can just go to watch the haka. You don't have to watch the game. So you just get there 20 minutes before the game, watch the haka, and then you can leave. That's what like they say.
Yeah.
Just go for the appetizers. Don't even stay for dinner. It's like, I'm good.
You go to the pub down the road afterwards to watch the game there.
Go to the chippy and you're good, right? So have you tried to institute, since, you know, captains always have their things, have you tried to institute the haka with Blue City? Because we would get behind it, because, you know, we're probably closer to the pitch than anybody. We'll get behind anything, including yelling
so
at refs.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we get you to teach everybody in Scouser's house our own haka, so that when their goalkeeper comes down, we'll scare the shit out of him.
I'm in. Well, I mean, he's already got the footage of it.
I can maybe do that for you guys.
Yeah, because... you know, I was thinking about that last night, and, you know, I was going, oh, man, what are we going to ask this guy? Because, you know, I've never spoken to you until right now. And, you know, and what are we going to talk about? And then when I put in New Zealand, the first thing that popped up was the haka. And I said, hey, that's it. That's it right there. You know.
No, so the thing that I've honestly, like, bought in the most, there's a famous book by the All Blacks called Legacy. I don't know if you guys have heard about that. And it talks about like how they changed from like early 2000s when they weren't doing so good and how they became like the World Cup champions back to back. So that's something that like when I was kind of put in the leadership group this year that I spoke about like they say we're custodians of the jersey. We don't own the jersey. It's like we get to borrow it for 80 minutes at a time. And the legacy is to leave it in a better place. So that's how like I've kind of my messaging to the team this year has been like, this is not our club. We just get to be a part of it for a brief period. It's the fans club ultimately. And so like it's our honor to do what's right for them every day, but like 90 minutes at a time. So that's like the one thing that I've really like bought in from the All Blacks and rugby and everything like that from New Zealand. So
yeah. So that is definitely something we're going to have to look into, because if we can get Scouser's House all doing a haka before kickoff, we want to scare the shit out of that goalkeeper, you know, because...
When they walk into our side of the pitch and we've got the whole bleachers just rattling and we're that close to them, they're already in their head to begin with. They're cooking eggs and bacon in their house right there. So
they will not be happy down that end of the field.
No, they're like, what kind of Kiwi shit's going on back here? Is this what Adams brought to them from the West Coast from down under? Like, we brought this all the way here? Is this an inspection? What's wrong with these people? Hopefully we'll get a yellow card before the game starts.
Yeah. People are already pissed off. Yeah. We pissed off some goalkeepers. They complained.
Are you serious?
Serious. Yeah. I'm proud of it.
Proud of it.
Yeah, proud of it. You know, because can you imagine being a few weeks ago when we who do we play? Yeah,
the guy with a dick. Good God.
Which one?
Yeah.
The keeper's name is Dick. I mean, it's like be smarter.
First game of the season.
Pittsburgh. Yeah.
And he had number one. You're like, come on. I mean, the 9-year-old boys back there were just slaughtering him. They loved it.
It makes it feel like we're back in England a little bit.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, and his first initial was E. You know, Mr. ED. You know.
It's just too good. We thought the joke was being played on us instead of on him. I was like, are you serious?
This is actually his name?
You showed up and did this?
Yeah. You have to put that in the back of your jersey.
I felt like he lost a fantasy football league draft or something like that, you know, and had to run around the corner with just his underwear on. I'm like, really? You had to show up for 90 minutes for this torture?
Yeah, and
your mother hates you.
You actually want to put that name on the back of your shirt? Come on, really? I could have thought of something else, like Bob.
This is Richard. First name.
Yeah. So tell us what it was like. You're getting that phone call saying you got called up for your national team. What was that like?
Honestly, pretty special.
Shit.
Yeah. it was late at night because of the time difference. So like, I want to say it would have been like 11 p.m. I got a text from the coach, and like I've been in like they have a WhatsApp group with like the whole 45 players that potentially could get called in.
Right.
And then I get a text like, hey, are you available right now? And I was like, well, I mean, it's a little bit late, but yeah, I guess, you know what I mean? And then he just called me, said like, we've been watching you guys have been doing really well in San Diego. And I think Landon had put in a word there because we had a player, Nico Boxall, who was on the national team as well in New Zealand. So I think Landon had put in a word, Kyle's doing really well. And then you find out like 10 days before you leave. So it happens really quickly. And then because of that, I played Saturday, flew out Sunday. But the time change, you fly to Australia, I land Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. You train Tuesday, Wednesday, play Thursday, and then play again in New Zealand on Sunday, and then you're back home. So it's like the quickest 6 days of your life.
Just like, a blur.
Yeah,
it's just a blur.
For me, it was pretty cool because from that in that squad of 23, there was six of us from the same academy that all played together growing up.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And then seeing like Chris Wood, like that's my brother grew up with him. Like he's a New Zealand hero. Like I get to like train with him, be in the same space as him. Like interact with them. It's pretty cool. Like, it's pretty, like, it's, you're playing with your heroes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, you know, you're kind of playing into something we were going to ask you is, you know, when I was kind of researching how many Kiwis are around the world playing first class football, and there's a lot more than you think. You know, you're talking about Chris Wood in the Premiership, and there's guy in the Bundesliga, there's Eredivisie, there's Serie A, there's guys all over the world in the MLS, and we got some guy called Kyle Adams in our team from in the USL. So, it seems like that you New Zealanders are kind of invading.
We are spreading out, but it's tough, obviously, because for us, there's only one pro team that plays in the A-Leagues. There's not a lot of opportunity, so we have to branch out a little bit and, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, the team's getting a lot better, I think. Hopefully we'll make the next World Cup in the U.S. here and kick on from them.
Yeah, the way the U.S. men's national team are playing, you know, anyone can make the World Cup, because obviously they may not, because I've seen them play.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it, because I think they're worse than England.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, England are favorites for the Euros right now, no?
Yeah, I believe it when I see it. Yeah, because they always talk a good fight, you know, and what have they got, the most expensive squad in the Euros? It's whether they actually show up and do what they need to do instead of squabbling amongst themselves.
That's fair.
Yeah. You know?
I'm a big Peter Crouch fan, so I watched his documentary.
Yeah.
And he talks about, like, obviously the golden generation, and like they didn't amount to much. Do you think this is now the next golden generation?
Yeah.
Could you even call it that?
The talent's there for it. I mean, it's whether or not they come together and gel. I mean, that's the thing. They make so much money so fast. You know, there's good and bad to that, you know. You're on a pedestal and you're training with the best. But then again, you're like thinking that you're the only one on the team. So to really get those guys to buy in, I mean, that's some of the stuff that you've dealt with all your life, I'm sure.
Yeah. Because I think, the talent is there in the team. But can you play as a team instead of being the prima donna thinking I'm the best guy on the team? You know, you should be listening to me. And I think that's the whole problem is the prima donnas that call themselves the England squad. They want to do their own thing and that's it. You know, because I've said for years, I mean, Kenny, we've talked about it, how Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard, two of the best midfielders in their generation, and they couldn't play together.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, 20 years, two of the best. Yeah, and Scholes, you're right. Yeah.
But like, I don't you feel like they got to be closer now than that group was in terms of like how, like, as a team they are?
Yeah.
Because I feel like they genuinely kind of like each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Then Arsenal, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea hated each other. I don't think there's that same hate within the players
anymore. Well, I think you're onto something there, Kyle, too. I think there's a couple things at play there. One, there is, you know, the social media angle. So that plays into it. But then again, there's not as much loyalty as there used to be. And there's something good about that. And that's okay to kind of help people meld together. Yeah. That they're here. And this is not truly life or death for us. We love playing. Yeah. And if you start to respect those players, then it's easier to kind of get together and go, like, okay, the other generations before didn't do it. So what's our shot? And to that point, what's it kind of like coming into Lou City since it's been a couple of years and we got used to two stars really quick?
Yeah,
I know. We talked to Coach, what was it, Scouse, back at our AGM meeting.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really stood out, and we brought this up when we were talking, I was doing one of the things with CBS, we were talking about Danny's pissed off that he's the only coach that doesn't have a star. Yeah. First of all, there was James, and then we had Hack. Yeah. And so how does that kind of bleed through to you guys, who Lou City is known, all these straight Eastern Conference finals, but getting it over the edge? What's that relate to you guys?
I think for us this year, like, the messaging has been like from John Neese down through James, Danny, and like the leaders in the group, Brian, Niall, those guys, that like this is the year we get a third star. Like, this is the year that we get to celebrate with a trophy. And like, because of the way the Open Cup is this year, we want to win the Open Cup, the Supporters Shield, and the USL Championship. And we think we can realistically and genuinely do that. Like, we have that belief in the team, and like the front office, the staff all have that belief in us as well. I think this year, it's like I was saying to the guys, it's the closest team I've ever been on in terms of 7 years as a pro, college. Like, we genuinely like each other and want to be around each other and want each other to succeed. So, like, that's different. Like, there's not a lot of pro teams, I would say, that, like, really, yeah, they can say all that, but do they actually mean
but
that?
But there's their egos, right? Because you have to have an ego to play.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Yep, that's part of the deal.
It's like, I was talking to me and Paolo talk a lot. He was saying, like, you shouldn't be happy if you're not playing. Like, you should, like, otherwise you shouldn't be a professional soccer player. But you should also want what's best for the team. And that is obviously, like, you have to have the ego to not be happy, but you have to be able to take it away to want the best for the team as well. It's really tough, but, like, I think Danny's done a good job in recruiting the players that can do that, I guess.
Yeah.
Do that, like, type in the team.
So how did you find out that you were the captain?
So Brian was named captain and I was named vice captain with him.
Right.
And then obviously the injury happened and Danny called me Sunday after that game going into El Paso, saying what had happened to Brian and that, like, I would be captain for the team. So it was just a quick phone call we had in the afternoon and
yeah,
it was on from there.
So it was a kind of an oh shit moment or yeah.
Obviously, like, it was sad in the way that it had happened, if that makes sense. Right. But obviously, I was excited.
Absolutely.
That, like,
yeah.
I get to be the fourth captain, maybe fifth. I get, like, Brian was the fourth. So, like, the fifth captain in club history in a team that I want to be a part of, in a city that I want to be a part of for a long time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I've been like, I told Danny, like, I captained at RGV. I captained at Real Monarchs when I was there. It's not the same. Like, those teams weren't expected to win. We didn't, like, the clubs didn't care if we won or lost. Here it is.
So,
like,
so how does that make you feel, though? Because to me, the reason why you go on the pitch is because you want to win. So if that's the message that you're getting from your higher ups, excuse my French, what's the fucking point?
No, I know. So that's why, like, those USL teams were always a joke for the most part, I think, because it was like, it didn't matter. Like, obviously they wanted us to win.
Sure.
But it ultimately,
sells tickets.
They didn't care if we won. They wanted to develop players for the first team. That was their ultimate goal. So it's like the coaches were getting told certain things, like, you have to play this player and stuff like that. And it was like, then I'm looking around as an older player there, like, what am I doing here? You know what I mean?
Older player, listen to this guy right here. you know, I've got t-shirts older than you.
No, but when I was at Real Monarchs, I was 20, I think I was 24. But, like, I was the oldest player there ever. I was playing with 17, 18, 19-year-olds. So I was looking around like, what am I doing here? Like,
yeah.
That was an interesting experience in year for me, that learning that.
Yeah. Hey, Kenny, I love talking to this guy because, you know, he's going straight down my list. You know what I'm saying? You know, because what we're talking about, it's going straight down my list. So you've been here in the United States and your first team was what, the FC Tucson?
Yeah, and that was like PBL Summer League.
Was that a pub team or something like that?
Yeah.
Sunday pub team?
No, it was like a
just kidding.
Yeah. So, like, we had, that team was good.
Really?
We had 12 pros go, like, from that team.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think we lost in the Western Conference Final to Calgary, FC Calgary.
Terrible. And then you went from there and you went over to, was it SoCal Surf?
That was, again, I played two games in the summer for them. That was a bit of a joke.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, you came on and that was it. You kind of kicked the ball around for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like a training camp.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was my friend was the coach, so he, like, made me come before I went back to New Zealand for the off season.
Yeah.
And then you a few dinners and called it a day.
Literally, he took me to the airport when I had to go out to LAX in San Diego.
So, and then you played, what, 52 times for Rio Grande?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2 years. Yeah.
2 years. Yeah. So, how was your time at that place?
Interesting.
Yeah.
For me, as, like, a first year, second year pro, it was good because there's not a lot to do there. So it's like, mm-hmm. you are a footballer and you have no distractions, really. Like, you can find distractions anywhere, but really there was not a lot of distractions. You're a pro, you're in there. Facilities were great. And then because it was Dynamo's affiliate, I got to go up and train a lot with the MLS team. And like my second year, I was on the bench for Open Cup games because RGV wasn't allowed to be in the Open Cup. So I was on the bench with the Dynamo for Open Cup and Leagues Cup and stuff like that. So that was obviously like great experience and learning. And then I got the MLS like contract for 2020 from that. But it like very eye opening because I saw a very different part of the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like living how it was on the border. Like San Diego's on the border, but it's also San Diego, like where I went to school and college. So a little different than on the border in Texas. But I wouldn't change that for the world because of like where it took me to Houston. And that was, again, not my best. That was probably my worst year in professional football, 2020, COVID, like not playing, being in Houston. I didn't enjoy my time in Houston at all that year with the coaching staff and everything. But it kind of like led me to, obviously it led me to here eventually, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't change that for anything.
So you played 54 times for the San Diego Loyal.
Yes.
Okay. So how was that time there playing with them?
I loved it. I live by the beach, 50 yards from the beach. Landon, great manager. I really respect Landon a lot.
You know, he used to play for Everton, right?
Yeah. I know.
Well, they're better than us today, clearly.
They were better than us today. They deserve to win today.
He there for like 12 games?
Yeah, he did like a little winter break type deal.
It's
funny because one of my teammates there, who he's my agent now, really close. He's from Liverpool, born and raised, played in the academy. So him and Landon always got into it around those sort of games. It's funny.
Yeah.
But no, San Diego was amazing. The team, the city got behind the team. The fans were great. Obviously, it's sad that the team is no longer in the league. All my teams are no longer in the league, which is crazy. I shouldn't say that. Louisville, you know, but all my teams are not in the USL anymore. I mean, it's sad that the team's not there anymore, just because they were such a great organization and they had great fans. The stadium was a great environment to play in. It was, obviously it's not a soccer specific, it's football, but like the way it was built into the canyon, the atmosphere was incredible.
We started out in a baseball stadium. I mean, we started out in a baseball stadium. Like most of the USL. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but when I first started playing football, it was with a tin can at the end of the street and with a goal painted on the wall, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I had the hedge. I had a trampoline leaned up against the hedge.
Oh, you did?
So transitioning from San Diego to here. So what was that like as far as twofold question here? We're not trying to, we don't want to hear any more about like how people, we're proud we are of Louisville City, but to the rest of the league, you know, like if you're on the outside looking in at just the stadium facilities tradition, what's that kind of like as a player, conversations about if you're going to play against Louisville City or the opportunity to go play there, what's that like?
I think everybody's excited to come and play against Louisville just because of the stadium. Like, it's the best stadium you can have. And then, like, when I've been trying to recruit players to come here in the off season, it's, you have the best facilities, the best. We get breakfast and lunch. It's so nice. Like, gym is amazing. We have a great training field. It is all, everything here is set up for, like, for us to succeed. And like, when I was in Houston, the facilities here, I don't know what it's like in Houston now, but when in 2019 and 2020, the facilities here are better than what they were there. And that's like the MLS. So it's like the stadium is incredible. The city itself is, I know I've lived in like San Diego, New Zealand are incredible places to live, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now. Like I truly love living in Louisville. The people, the fans, like I was in Trader Joe's today and like three people came up to me at Trader Joe's. Like, I feel like I'm in a European team, like city where we are the team and like the city revolves around us a little bit. And it's really like a great thing to be a part of.
So how did you get your, how did you know that Louisville City were interested in you? And was it you said, hey, Danny, come and get me. I want to come play for Louisville, or how did that happen?
I'll be honest with you, it kind of happened pretty suddenly. So San Diego knew they were going to be done at the end of the year. The players found out probably like the start of June. And then I was out of contract regardless, so I could start talking to teams July 1st for this coming year. And I think my agent put together a list of teams that I might be interested in going to and kind of put some feelers out there. And then Thursday night, I get a call from my agent saying, like, I think it's going to be a done deal. Like, you're going to be going to Louisville. We didn't hear anything that night. It was supposed to be done that night. And then I turn off the training Friday morning in San Diego, eat my breakfast, like nothing's going on. Their coaches pull me into the office and say, like, we've sold you to Louisville. And I was like, okay, let me go get my stuff packed up. Danny called me that afternoon and he said, we want you here on Monday morning. I was like, all right,
okay.
I'll pack up my whole apartment and move my whole life out there. And I had 48 hours to do it. But I was lucky because my brother and his wife and my parents both live in San Diego. So like, that was easy for me. Like, they helped me clean everything up, like do the apartment, everything like that. So it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah. So are they still in San Diego or are they here now?
No, they're still there. So my brother and his wife have lived in San Diego since 2013.
Oh, God.
So her family all live in like North County, which is like 30 minutes north of San Diego. And then my parents won the green card lottery in 2021. So they moved over in 2022. So now they like kind of semi-retired. Living in sunny San Diego.
When you came over, were you able to bring your dog Evie that fast? Now that you got pups at the pitch?
Yes.
That's so the Saturday Scouts, and you know that's one of our favorite games.
Yeah, pups at the pitch.
No, she will be there. She's been here the whole time. I bought my cat too, so I got a little black cat and a little black dog as well. So
okay.
Excellent. We basically have pups at the pitch in our the back of Scouts' house for every match because Ethan, the world famous dog, is always sitting up on the ledge with Jeff. He comes in, so the kids always have Ethan gets preferential treatment at the White House, at the Capitol. It doesn't matter who. Nice. So he shows up.
Yeah.
We're excited about that. But I saw your picture of I can't believe I haven't seen my puppy run around here. He normally bark when my wife comes home. You'll know because the Irish red and white cider will fly down here and alert everybody.
Yeah, mine's around here somewhere. She's worn out because I was outside cutting the grass and she was running around after me. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll be
a very fun game.
Mm-hmm. So who were your favorite players growing up?
So
is that Peter Crouch?
No, I love Peter Crouch now because of the podcast. So like, I started listening in 2018. So he's now one of my favorite like players, but I never really I watched him growing up. I knew who he was, but I wouldn't say he was my favorite then, but I'm going to kill you guys when I say this. I'm a Chelsea fan.
Oh, we heard this.
Fuck. Yeah. What happened to you guys this season?
I don't know.
They're worse than Liverpool.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I have a Liverpool shirt as well.
Okay. All right.
But you know the King James Nike one? I have that. It's quite nice.
Okay.
Because of my agent, I went to a Liverpool game last year against Crystal Palace. I'm Chelsea through and through, but I don't watch them. I enjoy watching Liverpool.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was 4 years old. My dad's an Arsenal fan. Gets even worse. That's even worse.
Let's go.
Chelsea were playing Arsenal. My favorite color was blue. And I was like, that's my team. So I 4 years old, you know what I mean? That was like Emil Heskey days, you know?
Yeah. I remember Emil. Yeah. He's a bruiser.
Not Heskey, sorry. Hasselbank. I was thinking Jimmy Ford Hasselbank. Those sort of days.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite players then probably like Frank. I love Belak. Michael Belak was a great
So classic.
And then because I was a left back growing up, Ashley Cole, obviously. So those three, and then I had a Lampard 2005 jersey on today. I had to wear it in. I got a lot of stick for it, but I also got a lot of respect because you gotta support the team when they have their darkest times. And today
absolutely. Yeah.
Whether they win, lose, or draw. Yeah, you gotta support your team.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So
I was going to wear it on here today, but they told me I can't wear an Umbro jersey. You know.
Well, it's funny because I think that Niall was going to bring you down to the Liverpool Chelsea. No, it was Liverpool. Which game was it? You were supposed to come down with Niall to meet us down at Molly's, and then they called in training that day. Yeah. And he goes, "I'm warning you in advance." Even though we two had never spoken to you, he's like, "I'll warn you in advance." He's a Chelsea fan. I'm like, okay. we'll still let him. He'll still let him because there's normally not Chelsea fans down there anywhere. We don't even know if they show up, so it's fine.
Gotcha. I went down there recently. Me and T went down there. I think it was for the Man City Arsenal game. Man City Arsenal. That was a good time.
Oh, yeah. Nice. They have to come down join us at Molly's for a few jars and watch a football game.
Oh, I'd love that. Is that the best place to in town?
Yeah. Molly's is always open for us, and I've been in there at 6 o'clock in the morning. They've opened up because of a World Cup game, or Liverpool kick up off at Old Dark 30, and they'll open up. And
it's better than San Diego when you got the 4:30 kickoff.
So brutal.
Brutal. That's when you just record it and I'll watch it later.
My phone would be buzzing off, going off.
I want to talk to you about something because I found out something about you yesterday and I was kind of, really? Because I understand that you're vegan.
Yeah, I am. Okay.
So that has obviously create some challenges for you.
Yeah.
Because when I used to play rugby and I used to play goalkeeper and whatever, one of the first things I used to do is you hit the pub and you have pork pie or, you have bangers and mash or whatever it was. So, how do you get enough protein in your diet to, you know where I'm going with this? Because I don't understand.
I'm with you. So I'm lucky that, obviously the chefs are, incredibly accommodating. For breakfast, I'll have a little bit of oatmeal, and then they make, these vegan kind of patties, like veggie patties. I'll have a protein shake in the morning, have one after training, and then for lunch have the same sort of thing, like the Beyond Burgers and stuff like that. Now they have, so much of these, it's probably not the best for me. So the substitute meat and stuff like that, but I feel like I'm not hurting the animals, so that makes me feel a little bit better about it, even though it's probably not the best, not as good for my health as people think. And then at dinner I normally make some sort of beans, chickpeas, stuff like that, some sort of meal, a bowl with rice, and I can get normally 130, 140 grams of protein a day. So
okay.
So are there any restaurants here locally that you really like that you've picked up on? Because you've been here for how long have you been here now? You've been here
months.
Yeah. Have you picked up any local restaurants that you like that can kind of feed that need, and so you're not always doing it?
Most of them have options. I love Bar Vetti, the Italian place.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I spent a lot of time in Nulu, honestly.
Hey, Molly's does a vegan menu too. I didn't know that until.
Oh, really?
I and I asked them.
I knew that they had a chef about 18 months ago that came on that was vegan.
Yeah, because I know they keep on posting on Scouser's House that the vegan.
I forgot about that.
Menu options for the day, so how I know there's an awful lot of kids and teenagers out there that. They decide to go and do the vegetarian and vegan options.
Yeah.
So what is your message to those just to make them kind of feel like they're okay?
Yeah. I mean, I think whatever choice you want to make is fully up to you. But if you're going to go vegan, the biggest thing that I think people struggle with is eating enough, because but with that, you just try everything, try anything, because I get the guys in the cafeteria to try so a few of the guys don't eat vegetables, and it's mushrooms are okay. Mm-hmm. The chefs do a good job making the mushrooms taste good. So then they start eating them, and then they're oh, these are really, really good. So even little things like that, you just have to try and explore, and you might find things that you like, might find things that you don't, but I think the more like variety you can get, if you're going to go vegan like that in your diet, it helps a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so like, do you... I make stuff now that I would never have thought I would make. You know what I mean? Like jackfruit. I make jackfruit like barbecue, like sandwiches. Like,
okay.
I don't even know what jackfruit was before. I still don't really know what jackfruit is. But I, just
I don't think anybody really knows what jackfruit is, to be honest. I had it on a cruise one time and I'm like, this is what it really is. We did like an Alaskan cruise and I saw jackfruit and I'm like, I'm stuck on a boat. I'm basically a hostage in the middle of Alaska. So sure. I still don't know what
it was. I guess I'll try it.
I guess I'll try it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, but so is this something that you've only just started doing over the last few years, or is it something that you've done ever since that you were like a 2 years old? What?
So my parents are definitely not vegan. My brother is definitely not vegan. When I was 20, that year I played for SoCal Surf, whatever it was. So the start of the year, I watched the documentary What the Health on Netflix. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And I was like, I'll try it. I lasted 3 days. And then it's kind of on and off the rest of like a few months. And then I went back to my academy in May in New Zealand. And my academy is like, let's just say the staff are progressive. Like they'll try anything. They'll read anything and try it. And so it's a residential academy, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They're like, we're going to go vegan. The whole academy. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going vegan. And I went vegan there for 2 months. I stuck with it after that. So like 2017, May, I've been vegan. I do eat fish and seafood sometimes. Like I went to London in the off season this past year. I had fish and chips in the pub every single
day. That a boy.
It's my favorite
that
thing.
That a boy.
You know, cheat on being vegan. It's fish and chips. Like that's my thing.
Yeah. You know who's got good fish and chips?
Wait, what's that?
You know who's got good fish and chips?
Who?
Molly's.
Really? Okay, I've got to go try that then.
Yeah,
I'd love to.
Molly's, and then there's also the Irish Rover that have great fish and chips too. Yes, that's
I think I've seen that. Where is that?
That's on Frankfurt Avenue.
Oh, I did. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly what it was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and it's nothing quite like fish and chips with a nice pint of Guinness to go with it. So.
Yeah, big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's when it happened. So it's been 7 years.
So have you noticed any health differences from being vegan over being carnivore?
I think when I first did it, I like kind of felt lighter and everything like that. But now, like I've been doing it so long, I couldn't even tell you. Like if I went back to a normal diet and then maybe went vegan again, I don't like maybe I'd feel it again. But I do feel like I've never been injured, so like I don't know if that is a thing or not. You know what I mean? So like I don't.
You need to wash your mouth out with soap now because you said it. You know, because
and he's also never been on this podcast. So
yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, he's gonna. Sure. Yeah, but you know, because it's just interesting to me because I would never have thought of, you know, I've just finished playing a rugby match and I'm going to waft and eat a salad and, you know, because the first thing on your mind is, you know, where's the you know, the roast beef and so you know, the New Zealand lamb. The people that they hate you because you know the sales are just gone straight down.
Exporting that now.
But yeah.
What's your favorite pastry?
I'm sorry.
What's your favorite pastry? Like you meat pie?
Actually, is a Cornish pasty. I love Cornish pasties. Yeah. Yeah, especially with meat and potatoes in it.
Okay.
You know, yeah. Because I was
a big mince and cheese guy growing up.
Yeah. Okay.
Meat pie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm devout carnivore. Because I go into the vegetable rights, you know, because I think carrots have got feelings too, you know. But we're just gonna leave that there. But the other thing I found out today from my good friend Niall, is that you've got to hunt out a coffee house everywhere you go.
That is what we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always wanted to start a podcast about like I actually have a Instagram page. I've never done anything with it, but I called it Road Sipping, and I wanted to do like a thing where I would go and like review a coffee shop everywhere we went. So then like other players who went there would know like this is a good place to go because a lot of us like on all the teams like to go get coffee on the day of a game. Like this was the place to go. This wasn't the place to go. I never really like got like enough energy or like put enough effort into actually doing it. But yeah, we do like.
Well, we're gonna give you the chance right here, right now.
All right.
Okay. So what you need to do is I want you to review the best coffee shops that you have frequented here in Louisville.
In Louisville. Okay. Okay. I haven't done a lot. I'll be honest with you. I haven't been to a lot because I just go to one, really.
Okay.
Well, what's your top one?
My top one is Quills. I'm a big Quills
fan. Yeah. We were just talking about Quills.
Yeah. Quills. That's right across the street from Molly's.
It is. I haven't been to that one, though. I go to the one in Nulu and then the one on Frankfurt a little bit, too, just because it's
okay. Yeah. So why'd you like that place so much?
Coffee's good. And then it's like when I first
started. That's a good starter.
Yeah, it is important. That is important. And then when I first got here, Wes kind of gave me, I knew Wes from like being in San Diego. Like we used to play pickup in the off season a lot together. Mm-hmm. So he said Quills and then Santa Gros were like the two good ones to go to. I still haven't been to Santa Gros.
Okay. Yeah, because you know the housekeepers that work for me at the hotel, they laugh at me because I'm the kind of guy, I won't make a whole pot of coffee just for me. Yeah, okay. I'll go get a cup of hot water, get my Nescafe out and screw the top and do the old Nescafe, instant coffee.
Nice. I can respect that. I mean? You don't want to waste it.
Yeah. Yeah, because for me, places like Starbucks and places like that with the frou-frou coffees, I'm not going to spend $5 on a cup of coffee when I can when I'm filling the card up. I'll go in there to Thornton's and get one for 79 cents.
So for me, coffee started like that. It was very much I did it because of, like, I wanted the health benefit or like the sport effect, like caffeine.
Yeah.
I was just drinking, I would go get black coffee, put some ice cubes in it and chug it. So it was room temperature and then just chug it. But now my palate has changed a little bit and it's more like the people that I hang out with a little more.
You can go ahead and say you're bougie about your coffee. It's fine.
Yeah. That's one of the, when we were talking to some of the ladies from Racing Louisville, that was the one thing that came up is they all like finding coffee shops and coffee places to go out and all go out and have a good time. So, but the thing is if you either like it or you don't, and if you don't like it, don't go there. If you do like it, knock yourself out, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like on those road trips, it's nice just to be able to get out of the hotel for a little bit too.
Get away. I know that feeling. I work at one all day.
As soon as you get there, you're trying to leave, aren't you?
Yeah. But that's one of the reasons why I picked the hotel business to have as a career is because there's no 2 days ever the same. The next 2 weeks is all Kentucky Derby, and we have so many different people and from all walks of life coming in, and it's never a dull moment.
How different are the people from the state fair? Is it the state fair that you call it?
Very different. What have you got for him there, Kenny?
Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit of footy here. I think we've covered a lot of other things too, which is fantastic. But let's talk about a couple of the upcoming games. So you've got Hartford coming up this Saturday, 7:30. We talk about the Pup is the Pitch. What have you seen from Hartford that is a little bit different from some of the other? We're sitting here at 5-0-1, I think it is right now. Mm-hmm. We as us, like you said, it's the shirt. We all rent the shirt and we rent the seats that's behind Scouse's little portfolio has there behind them. So what have you seen different with Hartford from some of the opponents that you face this year?
I think they are very good going forward. I would say they're looking for transition too, which is maybe similar to who we play. Birmingham. Indy were a little bit like that, where they just left a couple of players high and they let eight guys defend and then would try and like catch us on the counter. So we just have to make sure that when we are going forward, we're also switched on at the back, and that's going to be the three center backs' job and maybe the two midfielders there to make sure everybody's in the right place. And actually, it's the whole team, because if the front five repress and do well like that, then we don't have to deal with transition. So, but we have to make sure we're switched on for that. And then I've played against like the coach Brendan Burke's teams a lot because when he was at Colorado Springs, and you know the game could very easily with them be 5-4. Like the way they play, they are full gun. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They'll try to score as many goals as they can, but like they also potentially can concede a few. So for the fans, it's hopefully going to be a pretty exciting game, but hopefully we can keep this clean sheet thing going and get back to like being the best defensive team in the league.
Because, you know, the last few games, you know, we beat Pittsburgh 3-1, and you beat the Birmingham Legion 5-0, and then you went on the next game, and it was kind of a nail bite at some point because there was Indy 11, and we came over 5-3 on them, and we've got one loss on the season, which is great to this point. But how are we going to keep that momentum going?
I think it's tough in the May because we play a lot of games and it's a lot of travel with that Open Cup game. But I think like for us in training every day, we fight and we kick the shit out of each other, which I've never been on a team that like every player is fighting for a spot, and it's great because no one knows that their spot is secure. So I think that is how like we keep the momentum going. And it's just like the belief that we know, like, if we turn up and play well, there is no team that can play with us. Against Charleston, first 45 minutes, we didn't play well. We all know that. Like, personally, correct, we know that. But in the second 45, we all had the belief we were going to win that game 4-3. And, like, we had chances that we could have won that game 4-3. So it's like that. It's just we have that inner belief.
Well, the referee didn't help any.
Yeah, I know.
What a wanker.
But I think like we all have that personal like drive and belief on ourselves that we want to win the league. We want to win everything this year. And we know that it's every day. That's how it happens. It's not just on Saturdays or on Wednesdays when the games are. We have to turn up and do that the right things every single day.
So tactical question. So this year transitioning to a back three, which we all kind of knew what was happening in the offseason, from an untrained eye, it feels like we're playing in more half spaces because we have more options through the middle. And that seems that it's not so much just trying to fly down the wings and whip it in. And it seems like it's opened up a lot more opportunities down the middle in smaller spaces. Is that something that has been a focus this year?
I want to say like, I think that just comes with the shape, but it also is like the player personnel that we have. Like, Ray is very good in the pockets there. AP is very good in the pockets. And I think we just like playing to those strengths. And the shape that is, it's just allows the coaching staff tell us, but like we have a lot of freedom and rotation. Like Ray will come in and get the ball, and Elijah and Davi and Niall, those guys will get high sometimes and like make those runs in behind. And I think it's just the wing backs drift inside, the 7 and 11 guys drift out wide, and it's just
a lot more triangles, it seems like.
Yeah. And it's like it's less positional, less rigid, I guess, where like as long as there's a player in the spot, it doesn't matter who the player is, if that makes sense. So that's like, it's been nice to be able to have that freedom to kind of express ourselves as long as we are defending.
Don't get blown out of the back, right?
Yeah, like we have that freedom going forward. So that's nice.
Yeah. So what was the after the loss that you guys had?
We did it. It was my fault. I didn't wear the right underwear that day. On me.
Well, you know, Shannon, don't you know how to dress this guy?
She just got home. I know. She just got home. I can bring it up with her later on.
What was the atmosphere in the dressing room? Were you all screaming and yelling at each other? Were you all just quiet? So what's the difference between a dressing room whilst you've won versus one that you've lost?
I think it depends on, like, because I would say after Greenville, say, like, we won that game, but I think we all know it wasn't probably our best performance that we put out there. So that was a very, we get back to work tomorrow. Like, we won, sure, great, but we know it wasn't great, so we get back to work tomorrow and we keep moving through. And then after Charleston, it was very much, we didn't play well in the first half. We turned it around in the second half. We had film and stuff like that, and it was just like, all right, this is my personal belief too, and Danny says it in different words, but like the rain is always going to come. It's just how long does it last? So mm-hmm. for us, it was 45 minutes that first half. Yes, you can say the whole game because we lost the game, but we took from that second half, like we did really, really well. And we just got to learn from the first 45 and so make sure it doesn't happen again like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very like Danny does a really good job of not like killing us in moments when it doesn't need to be killed. But he will like halftime. I'll be honest with you, halftime in that locker room is not a great place to be. But after the game, he knew what we'd done in the second half. So we kind of like.
But you also have to be respectful of the opponent, right? Because it's not like you're playing. So, yeah. So that's another thing. So like our basketball coach always preached to us that every team is going to have two good runs in a game at some point. And you just have to kind of withstand it because they're not bad. If they were bad, we wouldn't have scheduled them.
Yeah.
So if you're one of the top teams in the state or country or whatever you're playing, expect that. But don't let that beat you down like all of a sudden you became really bad in 10 minutes. You're probably just as good as you were for 10 minutes before that when you were really feeling on top of the world. Momentum just showed up on their side, withstand it, stay to your principles, and keep going forward. It's hard to do because that's the mentality part of it, right? That's the mentality monsters like Klopp talks about or whoever else does, right? Yeah. You got to get past that because everybody can run. Everybody can kick. Everybody can do all those other things. But it's up there. That's the difference of what gets you past that because it's going to happen.
I think for us this year, like I would say we all know this, like inside, like we probably haven't put together 90 minutes. So like Pittsburgh, first 45, probably the best half football we've played.
Mm-hmm.
It was the second half. They kind of got a little momentum there, equalized, and then we were able to like kind of take the hit and keep pushing forward. So I think that is the goal for like us moving forward. Can we put like there's going to be a moment where we're under it, but like it doesn't mean we played bad and while we're under it for 10 minutes there, like we absorb and then we go again. I think if we can like put together a full 90 minute performance the next 3-4 games, we know we're going to be in a good place. Especially with Open Cup, like we put it together a good 90 minutes against Seattle there. Like, I think, I mean, we know we can beat them. It's just going and doing it.
It's a boxer, right? It's the same phrase, you know, like everybody's a game plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, how do you react from that? And so for sure. That's what you train for, right? So you get more methodical, you get more robotic, and you trust each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they try to make training harder than games, really, for us.
Yeah.
The 11v11 and training, it seems hotter than the games.
Almost. Yeah, and you're just kicking the shit out of each other. And that's those academy kids, too. That's a good process of the academy kids actually wanting that shirt. Because like what you're talking about, nobody knows you're going to have the shirt the next game.
Yeah.
So, you know, who on the team, when you go out there on the pitch, do you have a mind meld with? And you know that when you know he's behind you. Or he, you know, if you put the ball out to somewhere, you know he's going to be right there. Is there anyone on the team?
What do you mean?
It means that you know whether any player is going to be, you know, you have that relationship and you work with these players for so long, you know exactly where they're going to be when you're either passing the ball or you know he's going to have your back. You know, you've gone a little bit too far up the pitch, but you know he's going to be back there covering your back.
Arturo does a great job of that for me because he kind of lets me just go and like, step into the hole and press when we are pressing, and he is 99 times out of 100 he's there for me. Does a great job with that. And then with the ball, Niall and Elijah are always like, I know every time I get the ball I can find those two and they're going to keep it and like move it on for the team and do a good job. So those are my two guys with the ball that I love playing with.
So what do you miss from home?
I don't know. I've been gone so long. You know what I mean? It's like,
is there one food that you have in New Zealand that you can't get here?
I'll be honest with you. Like the candy, the chocolate, the sweets are very different. I like bakery items, stuff like that. A lot better back in New Zealand. Like the chocolate is like, you know, like do you like Cadbury?
Oh yeah. Duh. So
how much better is Cadbury than
Hershey's?
Yeah, it's not even close.
Well, you know what? I run a British expat site right here in Louisville. Okay.
And, it's Louisville.
Yeah. You know, it's right here in Louisville. And, that's one of the stuff that we always we share, and we call Hershey because it's crap. You know, it tastes like wax. It looks like wax, and you know.
Damn it, but, Scouts! I'm never gonna get that Hershey sponsorship to this podcast. It's you in your mouth.
Yeah, we get the Cadbury's one instead.
But so there's a brand in New Zealand called Whittaker's, and like whenever I've gone back for like the national team, I bring like 10 bars.
So
back.
Tell you what we're gonna do is the next time I go up to Jungle Gyms up in Cincinnati.
Okay.
I'm taking you with us because you know they have an international store up there that they've got food and stuff from all over the world, and it's just a few miles away, and you know it's a good day out, but you're gonna spend some money.
Is it better than World Market? Because I can find a couple.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
World Market times 6,000.
Okay. Yeah.
It's an experience.
You know what I do this? I'll say one thing. LMP. I don't know if you've ever heard of LMP. It's a New Zealand soda. It's imagine Sprite, but it's just lemon. It's not lemon lime.
Yeah.
That's the one. That'll be the one.
Yeah. You know, because I grew up with stuff like Tizer and Iron Brew and all that good stuff. I just go to Cincinnati and just get it from there, and you know, we have a day out and just go pick it up. You know, because but what they call it, Jungle Gyms is the market of the world or something, and they have. Inside this big supermarket, they've got like an Indian section, they have Australian, they have English, they got, you know, but and I'll send you the link to British and Proud too, because you know we're all expats, and join the group, and I won't tell them what you do for a living, just you know, just join the group, because that's all we do is we just help expats out, and you know, make them not so homesick.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a lot of too many Kiwis over here. I'll say that. I think I've run into two.
Yeah.
Actually, plus the two girls on the racing team. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you guys get together and talk about home? Any?
To be fair, I haven't really like had too many conversations with them. It's always like different schedules for the most part. I had a few conversations with Abby, but Millie is only just got here. So. But we literally all played for the same youth club growing up at different times. Yeah. But all play the same Three Kings United growing up. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, but small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Incredible. It's a small world.
The soccer world is incredibly small as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because I'm not sure if Kenny remembers it, but we walked into Slugger Field a few years ago, and who's the coach of, was it Montreal? Was Bruce Grobbelaar. Used to be Liverpool goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
we're chatting up before the game. Yep.
Yeah, we had a long conversation with him. That's how small the world is, and you never know who's going to show up.
Yeah.
You know. So, crazy. But you know, Kyle, I know you're busy, and I know you're on a curfew, because if I keep you up past your bedtime, Danny's going to be on, and he's going to be saying, "Listen here, Mush, you know, don't be keeping my guys up too late because they got a game to play." But so I just want to let you know that when you see the New Zealand flag flying in Scouser's house, the reason why it's there is because of you. And we appreciate that you are playing for us. But we just got to work on that goal thing. You know, we get your bounce in there and get some of those headers in. And you can score five goals in
I think I scored six. Because have you seen my goal against Seattle last year?
No, I have not.
If you,
I'll have to look it up.
Seattle Sounders Open Cup on that Starfire Field.
Okay.
93rd minute, 3-2 down.
Okay.
Just go have a watch of that. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah, and we don't mind if it, you know, when the corner kick is coming in and you put your bounce on it and you're aiming at me. I don't care. You know. You know, just aim at me. Yeah, you know, because I'd rather hit the back of the net than not. You know, I really do appreciate you, and thank you very much for joining us, and hopefully we've not been too much of a bore.
I've loved it.
So do you ever hear us from the pitch cursing the referee? And
I do on when we're defending corners. I hear you guys a lot down there.
Yeah, because one of the things on the Scouser's House charter is the referee is a wanker, and you're not going to change our mind. He is, you know.
It is. I don't want to say. I can't say anything.
yeah, but we can.
I plead the fifth on those ones.
Smart.
Yeah. So, but I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining us. And I'm sure we're going to have you back on again with your fellow New Zealanders, and we'll rip on the referees a little bit more. And, you know, so do you have anything for us? You know, any closing comments for us?
No, I appreciate you guys for having me on. I'd really love to. An hour, you know what I mean? It flew by. It's crazy. It's been a whole hour.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, but like all you guys support you guys do for us is incredible. So hopefully we can do something special for you guys this year. And,
yeah. Well, I want to mention one thing is that did you get to watch Thunder over Louisville?
We were away.
Yeah, they were away. Okay. They were in Loudoun.
Yeah. But one of the things that really disappoints me about Thunder over Louisville is that you know, I was looking at some of the photographs of the day after, and the great lawn down there is full of garbage and stuff.
Yeah, and
I hate that, and I hate that stuff is hitting our rivers and stuff. So I want to put a plea out there to the other people in the stadium that for the last 18 months, Scouser's House, at the end of every match, we go around and we pick up all the trash in Scouser's House, and we leave it for the guys at the top of the stairs so that it's easy for them to come pick it up.
Yeah.
So I want to, because I don't want any of that plastic to hit the rivers. I don't want it to hit the oceans. So Scouser's House has taken a stand that we're going to clean up our section at the end of every game. And my plea to everybody in the stadium is do the same. You know, at the end of the stadium, pick up your cups, pick up your empty wrappers and take it to a garbage can and throw it away. You know, because, you know, one of the things I hate is, you know, that's, you know, the hotelier coming out in me that I hate things being nasty and audible. And, you know, and we've got a beautiful stadium. We've got to keep it that way.
Yeah. That's something that we take actually pride on is like leaving our locker room. I know it's become a thing over the last 2 years, but like leaving the locker room, like, as we found it,
but I just want to get that message out there, because you know, we got a stadium that even you said is probably the best in the USL, and we got to keep it that way. And you know, leaving it like a pigsty at the end of the match is it's not right. I'm off my soapbox. That's it.
Yeah, that's your rant for the day.
yeah that's my rant for the day. So yeah. So even though Liverpool got beat today, which is, you know, I'm going to have nightmares about that, Kenny.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for our next manager.
Who's next?
I hope it's not Mourinho.
It's going to be the final guy.
Slot. No, it's Slot from Holland that's coaching. Is it Feyenoord?
Feyenoord.
Yeah, they just won the Dutch Cup too. Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be Slot.
Yeah,
he is high pressing as well, so it fits into, you know, because it's kind of like through the academy what's being done. Like when you see the players like Connor Bradley that come up at a right back, and all of a sudden we don't miss Trent, except for Trent needs to be in midfield, so it's they can bomb down the sides and still do the things. So
that brings to mind another question, really, for you, because do you see any of these new guys coming up through the academy when you're training?
So we had a few of them in with us for preseason, and then obviously Hayden signed an academy contract with us. He's the only one right now that's with us still. He's going to be a good prospect, I think. Hopefully we can get him into some more games, especially with the amount of games we have coming. But other than that, I do have to get out to the academy training more in the evenings and actually go watch, because I feel like that's something that, like, as a first team player, like, you have to give those academy kids something to look forward to, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Kenny, close us out, or we can be at off like at night. And so, you know, yeah, and Danny's going to be on the phones, and you kept them up all night, you asshole.
Scal sometimes is like James Brown, like when you think he's walking off the stage and they and he comes back on, they put the coat back on and he's walking back off. And he's
just
like,
kidding.
One more.
That's just kidding.
One more.
That's why we all love him so much. He's always got time for everybody. So it's not called Kenny's house. It's called Scal's house. Thanks so much for being on here, Kyle. We appreciate you being the captain and the way that you're taking pride in the city so fast. This normally doesn't happen in Louisville. So it doesn't go unnoticed. We appreciate you, man.
No, I appreciate you guys having me and appreciate all the support, honestly.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, give them we'll one for on Saturday.
Yeah, sounds good. 3 points.
Yep, 3 points.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, boys.